Hello, everyone. Let's play that music.
I don't know if you saw the intro, but I was writing a check. My mouth couldn't cash.
Oh my God. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 135 of Restitching the Tapestry. It's good to see all of you. We had last week off, so we are now back this week and we are ready to go. Did you know that we're ready to go?
We've been talking in the back room. I'm feeling feisty tonight.
Could it be the full moon, perhaps?
Is it
or whatever? I don't know. Is
the title of our episode?
I don't know what the phase of the moon is right now, but it could be.
We are just out of a new moon. We will talk about that. We are just out of a new moon. We are in eclipse season. I believe that there's another solar eclipse coming soon.
Oh my goodness. Wow. That's wild. But yes, episode 135. What have we been doing and how have we been?
I am on week 5 of my classes. I am halfway through my semester. I'm in multi-ethnic literature. It is such a hard class. It is so hard. I am reading, I have to read 4 books by next week. I am bogged down.
That's a lot of books.
Well, I read one of them. I'm in the middle of another one. I've got 2 more to read. I think I might read a third. Who knows? I just take it as it comes and hope I don't die.
I mean, you're a power reader, so you are going to knock those out.
I can read about 150 to about 200 pages a day, give or take. Mostly because I put down the social media. Mm-hmm. And I just sit there and I would.
Did you just quote that? I put down social.
I, because there are so many videos on YouTube about putting down the social media and experiencing life.
Putting down the Facebooks.
Putting down the Facebooks. Old boomerisms. Put down the TikToks of what if technology bad.
Oh my goodness, I can't even. For me lately, it's the middle of the semester for me as well, so things have been pretty hectic. I do have good news that I shared with you before this. So I am part of our local PFLAG chapter. So PFLAG is an LGBTQ+ organization designed to promote education and advocacy, and there's a local chapter. I joined it recently, and we are curating and creating an LGBTQ+ library.
Ooh.
Yes. And the thing is, like, there are some bookstores in Michigan that are LGBTQ+ focused, but I don't think there are any libraries that are LGBTQ+ focused. So being that there are so many book bans happening in other states and like school boards being ridiculous about school libraries, like, I feel like this library will be a safe space for LGBTQ+ people and allies. And I'm really, really excited to be a part of that. So, beyond that, last weekend, I did go to a wedding, which was a big old gay wedding. It was wonderful.
Absolutely.
I cried.
I just got really excited thinking about you at a gay wedding.
Oh, you know what? I felt dapper as hell. Like, I had a bow tie on. I loved wearing a bow tie so much that I literally went on the internet and bought like a whole bag of bow ties the next day.
Well, I saw you in a picture with Britt at the wedding, and you two looked so cute together.
Thank you. It was like, despite it raining, like it was a very beautiful, wedding, and it was nice to see some really good friends, you know, finally get married. It's kind of made me think a lot about the future as well and all of that jazz.
You mean your wedding?
Yes, eventually. So beyond that, what else have I been doing? Some writing. I am behind on the October poem challenge.
Oh, don't,
but that's
don't
okay.
Don't talk about that.
Oh, I know. Like, I'm totally okay with it. Like, again, like, it's kind of a work at your own pace kind of thing anyway, you know? So I will gradually trickle on out the poems as the rest of the month arises. So,
if I don't get them all done,
it's okay.
I gave up on Inktober. I was like, I can't do this.
It's okay. Like, create at your pace.
I was like, I can't. Not this year. We're not doing this year. Too much work. I can't do this.
Are you mentally preparing for NaNoWriMo?
I made a compromise with myself that I'm not going to write 5 scripts. I'm probably going to try and write 1.
I think that that's a very wise course of action.
But I have an idea about the script that I'm going to write.
Oh.
People who fall in love with each other through their dreams.
Oh, that sounds romantic.
Like they don't actually meet together. Mm-hmm. They actually fall in love. They have conversations, but they actually don't meet each other until the very end of the movie.
Okay. I'm on board. That sounds like a really good idea.
Like it's a whole love story. It's a whole love story. But they don't meet each other until the very end of the movie.
Hmm. I'm waiting for it. Like, I'm waiting for it. So we would be remiss if we did not talk about current events, because the last week and a half has been kind of all hell breaking loose, especially in the Middle East. I'm sure that you all have heard about the
bombing of the hospital.
The bombing of the hospital in Gaza, and the war that's happening between Israel and Hamas. It's a lot to process, and my heart goes out to anybody who is
affected by it.
Affected in that area by that. Like, it's just, and you know, like, this is my privilege speaking. Like, I've been watching stuff about it. I've been like seeing stuff about it, but like, I've not really been able to articulate a lot of reactions to it, because I'm like, who am I to really?
It's the relationship between Israel and Palestine is so complicated, because it has such a complicated history that, mm-hmm. that Jewish people got access to Gaza through the end of World War II, that they were given that space, mm-hmm. through American intervention after World War II. And so there's a lot of animosity between the Palestinians and the Israelis due to American intervention.
Right. So like this on top of course, like what's happening in Ukraine still, like it's a lot. And I really hope that everybody over there will be okay. Like, I know a lot of people have not been okay, especially in light of the hospital bombing like that.
I just think that regardless of how how people feel about each other, I think that you can live together in peace, and that regardless of how you feel about how things went down historically, I think that you can work together towards a peaceful togetherness, and that you can work towards a unified togetherness. I really do think that honestly, that you can work towards a shared space. I really do believe in having shared peace in mm-hmm. in the space. And I know that's so difficult, because there's such a vast difference in ideology. But, you know, I was listening to Bob Roth talk about how in difference of ideologies, there's still there's still a lot of similarities in opinions and in prayer. And that despite differences, and I always say this, that despite differences in religions and opinions, we all still want the same things out of life. We still want, you know, we still want togetherness of community. We want peace for our families. We want peace for, we want a safety and security. We want to make, you know, be able to walk down the street and, you know, not be attacked. We want to have food safety. We want to be free of crime and to be treated fair and justly by our leaders and the government and the police. And these are common things that we ask for of our leaders and of each other. And when you treat each other fairly and justly and with kindness and generosity, I just think that, you know, maybe we could just reach out and work towards a better tomorrow.
You know, I think that was perfectly said. I think that was perfectly said. We'll keep everyone updated as we find out more on this whole situation. But we definitely felt the need to mention it because from the beginning of this show, like this whole show is focused on reflecting on the current events happening in society, the good, the bad, all of it, right? So do we want to do the mission statement? I believe it's your turn.
Sure, I will read the mission statement. Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
We live in a dynamic society where social media shapes us by creating greater opportunities for connection. It has led to a developing understanding of the adversity many marginalized communities face, the powers causing the adversity, and those who act as bystanders as atrocities take place in real time. Our goal with this show is to make connections and have challenging conversations about social topics, current events, pop culture, and art. Together, let's weave the threads of understanding with what privilege we have in order to learn, educate, and create in a world that's growing.
Flourish. Love it. So today's topic, Luna Lunacy. I want to know what your vision was. So this episode is Ari's child.
It is.
And I want to know the vision.
So
what was your vision?
So this all happens. October is a very interesting month right now because some of this has to come with the fact that I am a tarot reader, and so we're in spooky month. So mm-hmm. a lot of astronomical events are happening. So physical things are happening in the solar system right now, and like on our planet Earth. So like right now we had on the 14th on the 13th and through the 14th we had the new moon. Which is a time when the moon is at its darkest in its moon phase. And then we also had on the 14th, the next day, we had a partial solar eclipse that passed through the United States. Coming up on the full moon, which is the 28th of this month, on the 28th on the full moon, we will have a lunar eclipse. So these are heavy astronomical events. I thought that it would be interesting to talk about these things because through my history, and you've talked about this too, because we both worked in, say, like customer service experiences, but also just like dealing with our own mental health journeys. There's superstitions around the full moon or the phases of the moon as it affects like biological health as well as mental health, that there is this superstition that the full moon has this werewolf effect on mental health, that your mental health is affected negatively in the same way that sundowner syndrome is. You know what sundowner syndrome is?
Yeah.
So as the day progresses, people with say like Alzheimer's or like mental health get progressively worse as the day goes on. as the sun goes down. And that, so in that same way, as we go from the new to full moon, there is the superstition that people who suffer from negative health effects get progressively worse as you get towards the full moon in a werewolf effect.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to talk about that with this.
Well, yeah, especially weaving it into the narrative of mental health. I think that's super duper important. So before we start delving into our discussion areas, let's talk a little bit about, like, this obviously very much in like involves perception regarding intuition, astrology sometimes, astronomy, right? So when did you first start becoming aware of this type of thing?
Well, I kind of wanted to talk about like what the moon actually does to affect our planet, because I think that's a good place to start about like how like what the moon actually does to affect our planet. Because mm-hmm. you think about like what we can actually like base in reality, like what does the moon actually affect? And then we could go from there, honestly. Yeah,
absolutely.
So you think about like the tides. All the water. Our planet is 70% water.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of water that's being moved around by mm-hmm. the moon, you know, coming up on shore and stuff. That's a great deal, in my opinion, that's being affected mm-hmm. by the moon. You know, the way that the water moves in and out from the beaches, moving across the oceans. That's a lot of being affected by the moon, in my opinion.
Yeah, if you ever get a chance, like if you all go on YouTube and watch like a physical or like a video representation of the moon's gravity and its impact on Earth, like it's really cool watching like the moon orbit and then it just like carrying like this tidal force of water with it as it goes around and around. Like it's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that they affect, and I'll get to how they affect animals, but they also affect turtles and surfers, just as a basis. But that's very interesting to me. They're affecting currents and things like that. They're affecting the turtles.
Mm-hmm.
But there's I'm reading this document that's talking about what they affect, and so. But they're also, at the same time, they're destabilizing Earth's rotation.
Mm-hmm.
The moon destabilizes Earth's rotation. That's very interesting, too.
Ooh. So is that like a cumulative thing?
So it says, wiping out the moon would certainly have some good, bad, and ugly consequences, but hardly apocalyptic. The biggest impact would be take time to manifest, destabilizing Earth's rotation. The Earth's axis is tilted at 23.4 degrees with respect to our orbit around the sun, but there is a slight wobble to the spin cycle. The wobble is like the one you see with the spinning top, slowly to make a tip trace as a circle as the toy spins around. For the Earth, it's a rather slow wobble, taking about 26,000 years to go in a full circle. It is also quite gentle, moving around the Earth's axis by 2.4 degrees, but without the moon to stabilize it, this wobble would become erratic and extreme. Sometimes the Earth's axis would point straight up and down at right angles to the Earth's orbit of the sun. In this scenario, seasons would be a thing of the past, and night and day would equally be long all year round. All other times, the Earth would tilt all the way around and lie on its side in relation to its orbit around the sun. This would mean the poles would be burning hot and the equator freezing cold. In effect, removing the moon would spell extreme climate change. There would be huge differences in temperature and daylight throughout the year. Ice ages would be different parts of the world every few thousand years. Lucky for us, the moon is not going anywhere anytime soon.
Thank goodness. I love the moon. That's super interesting, though.
But so that's kind of where we start. But so I became interested in it because I was thinking about, like, you know, how are we affected by the moon? Like, the moon has a lot of effects on the planet. It's very interesting, in my opinion, about how it actually does affect us. But for me personally, I started thinking about the moon because I have a lot of superstitions about how the moon affects me personally.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think the moon affects you?
I've been aware of the new moon usually affects me quite a bit.
Really?
And so over the past week, I've definitely noticed behavioral changes. Like I tend to be very, I don't want to say necessarily manic, but I tend to be very emotionally.
You're affected by the new moon.
Yes. I tend to be kind of very emotionally raw and kind of spontaneous around that time. And I know, and it impacts my mental health as well too, because I'm usually a little bit more apt to be blunt with people. Like I remember last week I was having some conversations with people and I was just did I just say that? Did I just, and then I had to go and reassess and be Donnie, you need to lock it up. You need to calm down. But I would say that's that's where I'm most perceptive is when the new moon is around, how I'm able to notice my behavioral changes.
I think I first started thinking about the moon when I would go to the beach and I would think about, thinking about the tides coming in. And I was thinking about how the moon would affect us. But then I would think about the moon because when I got my period and I started to notice the monthly cycles, when I started to get regular on my period, I started to notice that I was affected by that my period was heaviest on day two, and day two usually fell just around the full moon.
Mm-hmm.
That I always got my period right around the emotions were really high around the full moon, and that the full moon would cause me, maybe it's because I live close to the beach, I thought, or maybe it's because I've grown up in this my hometown near the lake. Or that I grew up in a house of all women. Mm-hmm. But there was something about, and lots of women too. I grew up in a house with, five women and one boy, so very, very strong estrogen in my house.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like because I grew up in such a high estrogen rich environment, and then we grew up so close to the beach that, I was more affected by the moon than other people, or that I'm more sensitive to things moon tides or moon changes or sensitivity mm-hmm. to the environment because of things like that. This is just perception. This is all perception in my opinion. But it would be when everyone else got their period, I would get mine as well. We were all synced up and we would all be really emotional. We would all fight with bigger with each other. It would just be like a tinderbox sometimes, mm-hmm.
Kind of chaotic.
Yeah. And it would just be like these moments of high intensity. And I noticed as I got into my 20s and into even my early 30s, that even as I moved away, my period would always sync up around that full moon. When I noticed, when I started to look into it, really that my period was always syncing up around, sometimes it would get off kilter, because the moon shifts, there mm-hmm. moon shifts. But usually it was syncing up around the full moon.
Interesting.
But I always, when it didn't sync up the full moon, I knew that it wasn't right. And when I lost my period, I noticed that I still felt emotional changes around the full moon. And I could always tell when the full moon was coming because I could feel the emotional shifts, that I still felt physically changes in my body. Like I was supposed to be getting my period around that time.
Mm-hmm. You know, I tend that's very, I think that's super interesting. When it comes to the full moon, I don't know if I have a lot of physical manifestations or anything, But like I often like creatively speaking, like mentally, like I'm like very like creatively kind of like a live wire around the moon, full moon. That's always been the case for me. I'm not 100% sure why, but it's super interesting.
But something that I noticed, and this skipping to my mental health journey. So for my personal mental health journey, I have, checked back to my mate, cause we've talked about this. I have bipolar. I've had several psychotic manic episodes, mm-hmm. very strong, you know, very delusional, very chaotic, very impulsive behavior, very erratic behavior. I would say on the far end of the scale. Mm-hmm. Like, so what I did was I checked back to what was going on during those months astronomically. And so the full moon, those months, three out of the four manic episodes were supermoon months. So the moon was closest to the earth in periods of apogee. During my first manic episode, it was a supermoon that was so powerful. And it was the first of three supermoons that were back to back. So the apogee of the moon being so close to the earth lasted for several, like it was just the orbit of it. The apogee lasted, but the moon was super full for three super moons, three moons in a row, with that orbit. Which is interesting because I didn't feel quite right. I remember after I was psychotic, it took me several months to come out of my I was hospitalized from December all the way through March, which is that time of the super moons that they had.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting to me to experience that because it's that was kind of the period of most of my psychosis during that time.
Was that back in 2017?
2017 into 2018.
Into 2018. That is interesting.
So that was the first one. The next one was one of them was in December of 2021, which was my last one, which was the only one that was different. That wasn't a supermoon. It was called a micro moon, which is the moon was too far. It was farther away, and it was actually smaller than the normal moon. So it was too far away. It was at its perigee,
I think that's what it's called.
It was farther out than normal. So it's very interesting that it was sort of like I'm only balanced when the moon is within a certain range, it seems like. if there's a correlation.
Right.
Because I've talked about this with my therapist, and my therapist has said that there have been studies done and there's no direct correlation between mental health and the moon.
I mean, there have been correlations with regard to physical health and the moon, though, right?
No.
I thought there was.
No.
Oh.
We'll get into that. We'll get into I've got a whole document about the actual facts about the moon.
The facts. Oh my goodness.
Do you remember, what are your experiences with the moon and say customer service or stuff?
Oh my goodness. Whenever there was a full moon, customers were always the worst. They were terrible. Like people just being very demanding, just not really having patience, and not paying attention. That's another thing too. like people would like come into a store, like a bull in a china shop, you know, just.
Do you have like any like crazy full moon stories?
I do.
Okay. Tell me about it.
A long time ago, I was working at a retail store and it was in the summertime. And I remember that it was around a full moon. This lady came in and she wanted to buy like some sort of hat or something like that. But she had to go quickly go down to Bath and Body Works to get something. But she wanted to wear the hat because it was sunny out, but she didn't have her purse to buy it. So she was like, well, I'm just going to take it and I will leave. What did she leave? She left like a frying pan that she had bought at another store as like collateral.
Are you kidding?
And I was just like, you can't leave the store. You're shoplifting. Like you are literally taking merchandise out of the store and not paying for it. She starts screaming at me, like calling me everything under the sun, you know,
under the moon,
under the moon. In this case, she ended up storming out. She took the hat with her.
She shoplifted.
I was by myself and I had like a line. So like, I had no way to like call anyone, do anything about it. So she eventually does come back.
Yeah.
And she was just like, I told you I'd be back, you blonde, like profanity, whatever. And then she literally was like, she said something. She like questioned my intelligence. She's like, I bet you're here because you've never amounted to anything in your life. Like she just went in on me. And I looked at her and I was just like, darling, I'm willing to bet that I have more educational qualifications than you ever have.
Oh my goodness.
And I was just like, girl, what are you doing? Like she came
she
in.
Shoplifted. But it's okay because she left her frying pan.
She left her fucking frying pan. I was really mad. I was so mad.
Didn't you know that frying pan is new currency?
Apparently, I didn't know that we were in a bartering society again. I thought that was a thing of the past. So, but that was one of them. I do remember instances of people shoplifting from stores around full moons. 100%.
So I worked in, for a magazine subscription service, and I said that there were three types of customers because I would work different shifts. I would work sometimes the 10 to 7 shift, which was fine. But I also worked, sometimes I would work the 10 to 10 shift, like they would work 12s. Mm-hmm. So I'd work 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Usually.
Ooh, that sounds terrible.
Holiday hours. So what's interesting about working the 10 to 10 shift is you learn a lot about the different types of people on the different call servers. The money is good. You only work 4 days a week when you work 10 to 10, which is great. But the thing about it is, so I came up with the different types of lunacy that you'll see, which is you'll see sundowner mm-hmm. syndrome, you'll see full moon fever, and then you'll see holiday madness.
Ooh, holidays. Ooh.
Full moon fever was a dip. I always kept a little, because we had our own little cubicles, our own little, they went up. And I was lucky because I had the cubicle next to the window, so I could just sit out and look out the window all day. It was a parking lot, but the fact of the matter is
better than nothing.
You know, having a window next to me, it's a luxury that not everybody had because most people were stuck in the call center on the floor looking at just cubicle all day,
like partitions and stuff like that.
Right, I got to look out a window. That's luxury. I got to look at trees and sky if I wanted to. I actually saw anyway. Regardless, so I was looking out. So I had my partitions. I had my little calendar, and I would mark every month when the full moon is. I'm telling you, I'm telling you, without fail, full moon fever would go into effect, where people would get, regardless of the title of the magazine, what issue was coming out, whatever, people would go nuts about their magazines, about, and it didn't matter the age, it didn't matter the gender, it didn't matter, people would call, and they would, it would be higher volumes of calls around the full moon, and it would be like several days before, several days after. I'm telling you, scientifically,
based on your own empirical data,
I would look at the call board and the call, because they would show like how many calls you're getting on the call board.
Mm-hmm.
And I would notice an uptick of calls on the call board before and after the full moon. I'm telling you, I'm not crazy. I would see that on the call board, that there would be an uptick of calls around that time. And it didn't, maybe it was just like the time of week or whatever, but I'm just seeing that I'd see more calls on the call board, that people would call in and they would start haggling about prices, about not getting their magazines, about whatever. Maybe it was just time of month, that maybe it's because like the middle of the month or like the end of the month, people would just start, and it would just be about the most nitpicky things. And they would just like, people would just get so angry about like $3, or be like, I got charged on automatic renewal for my magazine. I didn't want this magazine. I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask to get charged. You need to cancel this. You need to cancel this magazine. And just be like losing their utter mind, because they signed up for a magazine and put them on auto renewal. They got charged for it, even though they got a little card in the mail that said, your magazine's about to renew. If you want to cancel.
Do people read those?
No, they don't. People do. That is the problem, that people do not read the fine print on the things that they get in their lives. And that's the thing is,
I don't know how you did it. Like, I don't know if I could work at a call center.
It was actually a lot easier than you think it is, because you just slowly let yourself die on the inside.
No, not
the
that.
The thing about it is that I tapped into my INTJ attitude, and I slowly just became an automatic organic robot, and that everything was input and output, and that I am a very friendly, kind person who understands that empathy is the best nature of human beings, and that all you have to do is just understand that people want something out of you, and what it is, what they really, really, truly want, is to feel understood and connected with. And that's all it is. That's all customer service really truly is people want to be understood, connected with, and that they want to feel like they're not being taken advantage of. That's the true nature of business. All it is.
I mean, yeah, that's fair. I don't know, like I personally don't know if I would have the wherewithal to deal with constant barrages of angry people.
Oh, dealing with angry people is the easiest thing in the world.
What is your methodology?
I ignore them being angry at me, and I deal with the problem. And then when I deal with the problem, they're less angry.
Let's pretend that we're in a call center and I want to call you.
Okay, ring, ring.
Ring, 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 ring.
Thank you for calling New Yorker Magazine. This is Randy. How can I help you?
I am done.
I'm sorry. What can I help you with?
I'm done with your magazine. I am done with these multiple charges. Why are you charging me for yet another subscription?
Well, let me look up your account so I can help you cancel your subscription.
Okay.
All right. Do, 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 do. All right. I see that we did charge you on the automatic renewal. Let me cancel that for you today.
How dare you automatically renew? I did not sign up for that. I can't even do this with a straight face. You dealt with me very well.
Anyway.
I also appreciated your customer service. How may I help you today?
Oh, it was, you know, when I got into the flow of it, because I would take something like, in probably like a 7 hour period, I would take something like 250, 300 calls a day.
That sounds terrifying to me. We should do like a whole episode about customer service. I feel like we could talk for hours about it.
Yeah. But I think I got my calls down to about a minute and 30 seconds. I was real good at calls. I was real efficient because I could type like 60, I can type 65 words a minute, just 65, yeah, 65 words a minute or so. And
That's
so
good.
I got to the point where I was typing about 75 words a minute, because I was getting so good.
That's impressive. That is really
That's why
impressive.
they made me a supervisor.
So, what do we got next?
So I was talking about we were talking about the personal mental health journey, because I was talking about how we marked our the mental, you know, the paths of the moon with our personal mental health journeys. Have you ever, like, because you have bipolar as well,
I do.
have you ever like marked back to like manic episodes or like major episodes in your life with the moon?
I do remember back in college what I would call refer to like as a mental breakdown, which probably was a manic episode or like coming down from a manic episode, around lunar eclipses.
You would have lunar eclipse. There would be lunar eclipses around your mental health.
Yes. So throughout college, there were, I think, because I was in their astronomy program for a while because I was a big old nerd. And I remember like for a couple of years in a row, there were lunar eclipses, and right around like the literal day of the lunar eclipse, like I would just be just I felt so mentally unstable. And then it would like just it would like bleed out into my behavior, into the way that I would interact with people. I would kind of like want to shut myself off and like kind of wall myself up, you know, because I was it was just like this. I felt like a barrage of something, if that makes sense. But that was for me around lunar eclipses for sure.
Does that information, does it shock you to feel like that information, like knowing that there's a potential correlation between the two?
I'm going to be honest, nothing significantly shocks me anymore with regard to my mental health. After learning that I am bipolar, like it just made everything made sense. Like every single thing that I had experienced over the past 10 to 15 years just immediately made sense. Yeah. And I would argue that things like that would probably exasperate it further.
Do you so one thing I noticed recently, with a determination of trying to prevent a relapse of like psychosis or preventative care when it comes to mental health journeys of possible like preventative care, is what people will do, like psychiatrists will do with patients, is that they will do timelines. So what happened before the event of the breakdown of going to the hospital, and getting admitted into the mental hospital. So like when it got so bad and like when it kind of reached that apex breaking point. So that's kind of like 0 hour of when it gets to that point. What a psychiatrist will do will backtrack days, hours, days, weeks, months of the precursor, the penumbra to the episode of what was going through the mental state of the patient before they went through that episode. So maybe they lost their job, maybe they got kicked out of their apartment, maybe they like take for example myself. So what happened for me before my episode 0 hour, which was December 28th when I got arrested, in December 2017.
Mm-hmm.
What was happening in the days before that, I was fighting with my boyfriend. I was running the streets. I was acting extremely erratically. And then you go back further than that. I was taking baths to try to soothe myself. And I was having problems with that. If you read back through my book, David Lynch Is After Me, I talk about the events precursor to the episode. Mm-hmm. But if you go back further than that, on December 17th, I started having mental thoughts that people were following me. Mm-hmm. And if you go precursor to that, I started my second job where I was working long hours. I was getting up at 6 a.m. and I wasn't going to bed until 3 a.m. And so, you know, I was drinking a lot of coffee. I was staying up late. So that lack of sleep was kind of a precursor to that. But even beyond the scope of the novel, I watched the Twin Peaks, The Return in September of that year, or July through September. And I was experiencing a lot of stress for my job because I was having a lot of credit card debt and I wasn't sure how I was going to pay it off. And my boyfriend wasn't helping me with the bills and I was paying for things for him. And so that go back and back and back and back. So it goes back at least 6 months.
Before like a chain reaction.
So with that in mind, on the mental health journey, with the path of the moon, with these precursor events, do you think it's valid to track the moon with those changes as they occur? Mm-hmm. Do you think that's valid to track the moon as far as changes in mental health as part of that tracking of the mental health journey?
I think so, yeah, because like I mentioned earlier, like I think that, I mean, it may not be the cause of like the way mental health manifests, but I think it can exasperate it. Like, I think it can take something and like emphasize it and inflate it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It could just be mumbo jumbo, you know, like just pseudoscience.
I mean, being that there is no like studied evidence, I guess, like one could argue that. I mean, but granted, like if we look at our personal experience, like we create our own conclusions based on that, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, just because there aren't any definable correlations that we can come up with yet doesn't mean that there aren't any that we can think of.
I mean, I think that being able to identify patterns and to correlate those patterns, like, I think that, I personally think that that can serve as some degree of evidence. It may not be like tangible evidence, but like for ourselves personally, I think it could be enlightening.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk about some of the facts about what the moon actually does affect, because I think that that's kind of important. So now we're getting into the facts of what, again, going back to what the moon actually does affect, and how the moon actually does affect like physical health. And because I have this article, Can the Moon Affect Our Health? From Sleep to Menstrual Cycles to Full Moons and Lunacy, Discover History and Science Behind the Moon's Supposed Effect on Humans. Sleep trouble, violent behavior, mental health, menstrual cycles, all of these or more have one time have been associated with the moon. So does the moon actually affect our menstrual cycles? So while there's no scientific evidence to support theories that menstrual cycles can be synced, a period tracker analyzed data from over 1.5 million users in order to determine whether there could be a correlation between lunar phases and the menstrual cycles. The study found no link. Looking at the data, We saw that period starts dates fall randomly throughout the month, regardless of the lunar phase. However, my theory is the reason why it doesn't necessarily show a correlation between lunar data is possibly like locations.
So here's an interesting thought. Like, maybe the lunar phase itself doesn't matter. What if the moon's proximity matters? Like apogee versus perigee.
And I was wondering about that too.
Because the closer the moon is, the stronger the gravitational pull is. The farther away, it lessens, right?
Right.
So, I feel like, but that wasn't the basis of the study. It sounds like the study focused on phases.
Right. Does the moon affect sleep? A study in 2013 conducted 33 volunteers did find that on average, it took them 5 minutes longer to fall asleep during a full moon. Volunteers in the experiment also spent 30% less time in deep sleep. While it's easy to assume that increased moonlight from a full moon may be the cause of disrupted sleep, this study was held in a sleep laboratory where the amount of light was regulated each night. However, following the publication of the study, two further experiments failed to replicate the results.
Interesting. So now that sounds like it was a fluke.
It's hard to replicate the study. No, they're not saying it's a fluke. They're saying it's hard to replicate the studies under controlled conditions.
Oh, okay.
So, that's fair. Lunacy, the moon, and madness. For millennia, there have been a widespread belief in the association between the full moon and extremes in behavior linked with mental illness, historian John J. Johnston writes in the Moon Exhibition book. The very word lunatic, now thankfully outmoded, is an indicator of the former pervasiveness of this conviction among the general public and medical professionals alike. Johnston goes how to explain that Aristotle believed the brain's high water content made it susceptible to phases of the moon. These theories on the tides of the mind resulted in full moon becoming associated with violent behavior, seizures, and mental illness. Later studies have failed to find a correlation between the moon and mental health. An analysis of lunar lunacy research published in 1985 concluded that there was no connection between the moon and incidents such as crime, suicide, and mental hospital admissions. A recent study in 2019 analyzed the data of 17,966 individuals treated at various psychiatric wards over a period of 10 years, also found no evidence that our celestial neighbor influences our mental well-being. Despite the lack of conclusive scientific evidence, the popular link between the full moon and extreme behavior continues. In 2007, for example, Brighton police announced that they would be putting more officers on during full moons to counter an apparent increase in the number of violent incidents.
Wow, that was relatively recent too, 2007.
Mm-hmm. So, does the moon really affect our health and mood? There's absolutely no proof that the moon affects mental health, mental and physical health, though an effect has been observed in other organisms. Corals, for example, appear to time their spawning based on lunar cycle. As for humans, Neil McRae, author of The Moon and Madness, has criticized previous scientific studies suggesting the connection between moon and health, but stopped short of discounting a lunar effect altogether. We can be confident that the moon does not have a noticeable impact on most people's lives most of the time, but we cannot rule out the possibility of its roles among various environmental factors that affect our sleep, moods, and vitality. Convincing scientific study scientific evidence that the moon affects human biology or mental health has not been found, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. Nevertheless, its more obvious effects on Earth through light and gravity due to its regular cycles have exerted a powerful influence on how humans have led their lives, whether through ordering of time, the ability to navigate, or attempts to determine what the future may hold.
Interesting. Now, the moon does impact a lot of different species, of course. Like for example, like certain moths and bats, like navigate via the moon.
Well, yeah. Well, and it's just that it's so preposterous to say that all of these, that certain animals in our in the kingdom are affected by the moon, and that it's totally discounting the fact that we are totally above the natural biological processes of the animal kingdom, mm-hmm. and that we are totally divorced from this, and that the moon doesn't affect us at all in any shape or way or form.
So who did you say was, did you say that Aristotle was the one who commented on like the water yeah. content of the brain? Yeah. So, you know, it's like not long after Aristotle, like there were a lot of people who just, a lot of like philosophers and stuff who would just deem anything, any relation to that, like as being superstitious. Right. I personally think at that point, like that's when people just started like relegating any conversation about the moon to being ridiculous.
I mean, right? Our bodies are made up of 70% water. It's crazy to say that we're affected by tides in the same way that the water, like that the ocean currents are affected.
This is a wild thought. Probably the wild thought. So the moon is often associated with femininity, right?
Yeah.
Especially in a lot of Western cultures. Do you think the lack of study surrounding the moon and its impact on us has to do with latent sexism, you think?
No, I'm not sure about that, because it depends on the society. Some societies do associate the moon with femininity, but some societies associate it with masculinity. It just depends on the culture.
True. I don't know. Like, I feel like back in the day, I'm sure people treated it with some degree of sexism to a certain extent.
So you think it's because they associate it with that they attach it with femininity, like paganistic ideas that yes. it's considered pseudoscience?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I would say that. I mean, I don't necessarily know if that's exactly true, but like if you look at other patterns and how like certain things associated with femininity have been historically minimized and erased, like it wouldn't surprise me.
Oh, that's interesting.
Maybe, I mean, it may have like an influence, but it may not be like the entire thing. But, you know, I just think it's something worth studying further.
And maybe the moon isn't like strong enough to affect the fact of like causing like extreme lunacy or like pushing you over the edge into getting admitted into the hospital. But maybe it's enough to like make you snap at your neighbor or something, or maybe like call a call center and like yell at somebody.
If the moon is strong enough to literally create tidal forces across this planet as it orbits, I think it is. I think there's more to it than what we see. I think that there is, again, there's certain bases that could be investigated further. You know, they might lead to nothing. They might lead to something interesting. But we know that gravity has an impact.
But I think the location in which you exist in relationship to water, so like people who exist near oceans or people who exist near land masses where the tides come in, mm-hmm. in relation to the moon, might have an effect on when potentially you get menstrual cycles, or potentially mm-hmm. when you're being like how you're affected by the moon as well. I think that that has a correlation, but that's just my superstitious belief.
Well, and I think like going back to like people have always focused so much on the phases. Like again, like I really think that what matters more is the apogee and perigee, because like that determines the gravitic frequency that the planet is impacted. Right. Mm-hmm. So like, I think that, like if people, I mean, there could be studies on that. I'd have to do some research, but I think that that is worth investigating. And maybe that's my little superstitious perspective. I don't know. It's possible. I mean, it could just be like you say in the notes, an old wives' tale, right?
Mm-hmm. Interesting discussion, though. I think this is fascinating.
I mean, let's be honest, though. Like the moon. we both are very divinatory people. The moon does influence our perceptions and perspectives from that context.
If nothing else, there is a perception about it, and it's worth exploring in scientific studies, and it's worth a scientific field of study.
Right. And I just love the moon. The moon is so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It's going
to make me happy. I know. Oh God, don't tell. I mean, I'm going to be dead before then anyway. I know the fact that its orbit is widening and widening, widening and widening. Like, I can't help but to feel sad about that. Have you ever thought about what it would have been like to live like during like the dinosaur age when like the moon was substantially closer?
Absolutely.
Wouldn't that be wild?
I would have lived for that. My periods would have been so crazy.
Constant psychosis. Ready, go.
The dinosaurs were so crazy. Go.
The dinosaurs would stand no chance against us.
That's why they had small brains, is because they couldn't handle the moon.
They would be invincible. I love this conversation so much. Well, there was not anybody in the chat tonight, but hopefully we'll get some people watching the playback. I didn't really, I think I forgot to post it on Twitter that we were going live tonight. But feel free to comment, subscribe, click like for the algorithm. Go subscribe to Ari's channel's Strange Nothings. And for more convos about the moon, Tarot Time with Ari.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And then your water channel, Boosha Baby. Did I say it right that time?
Boosha Baby.
Yes. Yes. All right. We love you all. Have a good rest of your night. And watch out for the moon.
Don't explode the moon.
Bye.